Hey guys, welcome back to the Wisdom and Stuff podcast. I'm your host, Daryl Boucher, and this is where we cut through the Christianese and tradition-based thoughts that hinder us from the limitless lifestyles that we as actual children of God are designed to walk in. So let's go ahead and dive into the Word and see what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Okay, praise God. Well, glory to God. Welcome back to Wisdom and Stuff podcast. This is Daryl Boucher, and it's just a glorious day. It's the day the Lord has made, and if Jesus is Lord, that means love is Lord. Praise God. If Jesus is Lord, that means peace is Lord. If Jesus is Lord, that means that wisdom and strength and everything that he has is Lord. And if he's Lord, that means that that's what's governing everything. We submit to his lordship in everything today, and we get to steward his lordship into the earth. We get to steward what he's doing. We get to steward the life of God into the earth to everybody around us. What a glorious day to do that. And we don't need to feel a certain way to do it. We don't need to, it's like sometimes people get up and they're like, oh man, it kind of feels like Monday today, you know, when actually it's Wednesday or Thursday or something. And like, yeah, but all day it felt like it was Monday. Doesn't mean it was Monday. It just means it felt like Monday. Your feelings are not in charge. Praise God. Feelings are just feelings, and it's obviously great to feel good. It's great to feel positive and great to feel certain things, but they're not in charge. And so the Word of God is in charge. The Spirit of God is in charge, and we humble our feelings to His Word, and our feelings will submit to whatever we are humbling ourselves to. We can choose to feel whatever we want to feel. We can choose to think whatever we want to think. I mean, God gave us a free will, and that free will literally gives us choice in every area of our life. You know, we can choose to stand up or sit down. We can choose to think certain thoughts. We can choose to walk certain ways. We can choose to do whatever we want to do, and we can choose to feel what we want to feel. It's just that people don't know that they can do that sometimes. So anyway, that's a whole other thing. But today, and for the next, I don't know, we'll see how many it takes, but next few podcasts anyway, I want to get into a subject that is something that really has been a... I don't know what you would call it, maybe a compass or just something that has helped to steer my walk with the God, my walk with God, just in a substantial way. And it's really just the ability to walk in revelation knowledge. And what is revelation knowledge, and how does that differ from, you know, normal knowledge? How does it differ from what other people are doing, and how does it change our lives, and how can we actually walk in it? And it's one of those things. Years ago, the Lord had me walking in revelation knowledge from a very, right after I got saved. I remember I was in prayer, and I was in prayer about a certain topic, and I began to just read the Word, and I was just reading the Word and reading the Word, and suddenly I just, it was revealed what that word meant. It was like clear as day. It was literally like in one moment, I didn't have any understanding of what the scripture meant, and in the very next moment, I had crystal clear understanding of it. That's how night and day it was. And I remember I was in my bedroom. I was like 15 years old. And I was just reading the Word, and I just didn't understand the Word. And so I began to pray, and I was just reading it. And then suddenly it was just crystal clear. And that showed me in that moment that there was something available to me. And so I just began to walk in more and more revelation knowledge over the years. And I remember even when Rachel and I, when we first started reading the Word together, and we would just read, and you know, we'd read a chapter or something, or we'd read a certain text, and we'd just be talking about what we got out of it, and we'd just be sharing, and Rachel would be like, she goes, how did you see any of that? She goes, I just read the same thing you read, and yet you saw all of this. And I'm like, no. You know, whatever, I just, this is what I see, this is what, you know, you see this, and I see this, and here we are. And I was just so used to revelation knowledge that I actually thought that everybody just walked in it all the time, and it really took me years of even going to Bible school and doing these different things, being around different people, and realizing the majority of Christians don't walk in revelation knowledge, and they can. It's available to everybody. God is not a respecter of persons. And it's not just available. I believe it's essential for everybody. I believe it's something that's critical for us to walk in, crucial for us to walk in. I believe it's imperative for us to put a high priority on revelation knowledge. And yet most of the time we don't. I don't know if it's just because we don't know what's available. We don't know what it is. We don't know how to do it. So anyway, I want to get into that as far as really the differences to it and how to actually purposely enhance how much revelation knowledge we're walking in, because this is a purposeful thing that we can do, and we can build a skill set and an awareness of revelation knowledge on the inside of us and really access it all the time, and it really will change how you see everything. And I know it did that with me, and I noticed there was it took me a while to finally come to that place where I realized not everybody was seeing things the same way I was, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't because I'm like some super special thing. It's just because there's revelation knowledge available. And I remember when I started teaching in Bible school, one of the classes I had was how to receive revelation knowledge. And that was really the first time I knew it was so important to teach, but it was the first time that I actually like put pen to paper and saying, okay, what are some of the practical things that people can do to activate their awareness of revelation knowledge? And it's not a formula, and it's not any of that. It's not some kind of package deal that it's one size fits all. That's not what this is. In fact, it's just the opposite. This is a very personal walk that we have with the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, everybody should be actually receiving revelation knowledge, even though that revelation knowledge is going to be different and look on different everybody. It still will have the same impact and the same influence on their life, because it's literally coming from the Almighty. And so, the first thing I do want to talk about, though, over in Matthew 16, we see this kind of referenced as Jesus in Matthew 16 had asked his disciples, you know, who do men say that I am? And then they were like, oh, some say this, some say that. And then verse 16 of Matthew 16, he says, but who do you say that I am? And we know that it says Peter stood up and said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Now, you understand, this is the first time that we have recorded that anybody has actually verbalized something that was going to change history. I mean, this is the first time that we see the disciples speak something about Jesus that maybe they were kind of thinking, maybe they were wondering about, maybe they were hoping it was him, but this is the first time that somebody stands up and out of their mouth speaks something and it actually declares the truth of who Jesus is as the Christ, the Messiah, the one that they've been waiting for thousands of years, the one that the earth has cried out for. And Peter stands up and says, this is who you are. And I love this, because in verse 17, Jesus answers Peter and says, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you will bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you will loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he charged his disciples that they should not tell any man that he was Jesus the Christ. And then verse 21 says, but from that time forth, he began to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders, chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. So here we see that there's something that happens here. And in verse 21, it says, from that time forth, he began to tell them things that apparently he wasn't telling them before. He actually allowed them information about the redemptive plan of God on the earth. He actually is now disclosing to them information that is hidden from all the principalities and powers, right? He is literally speaking to them now. He says, from that time forth. And when I see that kind of phrase in the Bible, I want to know what was the difference. Why there's a delineation then. Something happened that allowed him to begin to speak these things. So he only said what his Father, you know, told him to say. So here there was something that happened that actually allowed the disciples to hear at a different level. He was always the Christ. He was always going to go to Jerusalem and be crucified. He was always going to do these things, but he didn't disclose that to the disciples until now. Why is that? And this is when I look at these things, I go, okay, if there was a delineation where before this he couldn't say this, but it says from that time forward he began to show them things. So there was a new level of disclosure. There's a new level of manifested, you know, just wisdom of God and of the plan of God in the earth given to his disciples from that time forward. And that tells me something just happened that allowed them to begin to operate in a higher disclosure from Jesus to them. And that's what we all want. We all want to be at a higher level of understanding of the things of God and of what God's doing in our life, of what God's doing, you know, in our country, in the world, so we can be a part of all these things and not just observe. But something has to happen. And here what we see, what happened right just prior to this, is we see Jesus ask a question that said, "Who do you say that I am?" And he put a demand on their heart to say, "I know what everybody else is saying. I know what, you know, the multitudes are saying this and this and this. I don't even care what the multitudes are saying." He didn't even correct that. He didn't say, "No, I'm not Elijah. No, I'm not Jeremiah. No, I'm not one of the prophets." You know, he didn't even correct all of that. That wasn't the issue. The issue was, I'm only having this conversation to find out what your heart is actually telling you. And are you going to allow your heart to speak right now? And so he challenges his disciples, says, "Who do you say that I am, though?" And Peter, of course, Peter, he's always doing things. Peter steps up and he's like, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And yet Jesus, then he responds and he says, "Okay, Peter," he goes, "here's the thing. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You didn't get this information by how much you read or even how much you studied or how much you heard from other people. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." You just spoke something out of your mouth that came straight from God the Father, and it was revealed to you. He says that. It was revealed to you by my Father. And so this is when we're talking about revelation knowledge. We're talking about things that come to us that are not tied to how much we've read. It's not tied to how much we've studied. It's not tied to what other people have said on the earth up until now. It's not a conclusion based on education. It's not a conclusion based on information. This is revealed from our Father. It is not something that we've discerned through our five physical senses. It's not what flesh and blood could actually give to us. It's revealed from our Father. And it's, notice what happens here. A couple of the results here, we already know, like I said, it allowed the disciples then to begin to hear at a higher level than they were before, to actually be disclosed higher things than they were before. But we also see him addressing Peter immediately, and he says, "Okay, Peter," it says, "Blessed are you, Barjona," blah, blah, blah. And it goes, verse 18, "And I say unto thee, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And he then begins to reveal to Peter's identity. See, when Peter actually allowed the identity that was revealed to him of the Lord to come out of his mouth, now suddenly he's able to get his own identity. Do you understand how our identity is tied to the revelation that's coming out of us? When we actually begin to speak by revelation knowledge, when we actually begin to speak what God's revealed to us instead of what everybody else is saying, when we can begin to do those things, our identity is tied to that. And so many times people are just, they're kind of like in this place where they're like so hungry to find out what their identity is. They're so hungry to find out what their purpose is. You know, they're so hungry to find out why they're on the earth or why they even exist, why God created them. And that's a genuine heart's cry of anybody on the earth. God put that cry on the inside of our hearts. He put that desire for like substantiated identity, purposeful identity. We are designed to walk in purposeful identity. And yet, you know, many times people are like, they're just kind of like bouncing around, or they're like groping like blind men, or however you want to say it. And they're trying to like hunt down their identity. And they're like trying this, and they're trying this, and they're trying this, and they're trying this. And they're like, "Oh, maybe if I do this, maybe if I do this, maybe if I do this." And so they get excited about all kinds of different things. And they'll put their heart and their time and their effort and their energy into something for a little while. And they're like, it just becomes fleeting, because they're like, "Yeah, I mean, you know," and they might even see success, in the physical realm because of what they were doing. They might even prosper at it, but their identity isn't tied to that. Their identity is tied to that which God is revealing to them on the inside. Our identity can't be received through our five physical senses, and revelation knowledge can't either. And so we see that Peter, though, the first thing that happens when he allows revelation knowledge to come out of his mouth is he gets the download from Jesus himself on our identity, on his identity, and so will we. Now, the second thing, though, that happens is then Jesus says, "And I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And so at that point, he begins to tell Peter about his authority. And so he says, this is your identity, and here's your authority that's tied to your identity. Because our identity requires authority. Our identity requires God's authority backing us up. And we have to learn how to operate in that authority. But those things were revealed to Peter because he was the one who spoke out of his heart what God was saying to him. It wasn't what five senses had shown him. It was something that God had revealed to him. Now, and this is, like I said, over the next few, I'm just kind of introducing it right here as far as what this really looks like. It's not something that can be figured out. Okay, this is revelation knowledge can't be figured out. We are, you know, kind of in this place where the human mind and the basically human race wants to figure everything out. It just wants to have everything, you know, just give me enough facts, give me enough education, give me enough academia, and I'll figure it out. Give me all the variables, and I'll figure it out. Give me all the information. All I need is more data. Give me more data, and I'll figure it out. This is never going to produce revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is based on the higher thoughts and the higher ways of God, the thoughts that are as high as the heavens are above the earth. This earth will never produce revelation knowledge. My five senses will never come to a place where they can actually receive revelation knowledge based on physical, intellectual information. Revelation knowledge comes from the Father, and it is tied to my identity. It's tied to, you know, the fact that He created me in the secret place. He created me in that place before the foundations of the world, before there was ever sin and death in the earth, and I have an identity that looks nothing like this world, and He wants to reveal that identity to me, but it comes through revelation knowledge. It comes through a knowledge that is revealed. It's revealed about the Father. It's revealed about the circumstances. It's revealed about what the enemy is doing or whatever, but it's revealed about heaven. It's revealed about me, because me and heaven and God, we are all of the same DNA. And so that revelation knowledge, when we begin to enter into it, it unlocks an ability to receive at a much higher level, but it's an easy thing to do. And this is why I just want us to get into the ease of it. This is so easy. It's more natural for us to receive revelation knowledge than anything else. It's more natural for us to receive revelation knowledge than to learn, you know, addition when we were, you know, in first grade or whenever. You know, it's more natural for us to walk in the things of the Spirit than the things of this flesh. It's more natural for us to actually receive the things through our spiritual senses than through our physical senses. We have spiritual senses. It says, what eye has not seen nor ear heard. You know, we have spiritual senses. Jesus said, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, He talks about, you know, just being able to taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, these are spiritual senses that we have. And of course, in Hebrews 5, it talks about sharpening our spiritual senses by reason of use. But we need to do this. And as we do it, we get more and more revelation knowledge. Now, one other verse I want to get into before I wrap this segment up is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And if anybody knows me, I know that I love 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And he's talking about walking in the wisdom that God gives us. And it says it's the hidden wisdom. But he says here in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, he says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, and has never entered the heart of a man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So here he says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, never entered the heart of a man. So he's saying that if all I'm doing is trying to get things through my five senses, and that's just talking about taking in information and allowing my physical brain to, work like a computer and take in the data, and then my physical brain, you know, just kind of goes through all of the information and then spits out a conclusion. There's no way. It says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, and it's never entered the heart of a man. My heart is designed to work on revelation knowledge, not on the sense-based knowledge. It says, there's no way that I will know the things that God has prepared for me that love Him. Okay, there's no way. And then it says, but. So the transverse of that, he says, but if we stop striving with five senses, it says, but God has, past tense, revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So here he's saying, listen, what's available to us is the deep things of God. There is nothing hidden to us. God is actually revealing even the deep things of God. And he goes, he has, past tense, already revealed them to us. So there is a realm of my heart that they're already, that's already been revealed. I just have to access that. And this is easy and light. It's not some weird thing. It's literally just accessing a different part of my inner man that has all of the hidden things of my heart in it. And so this is just revelation knowledge, and this is what changes how we receive from God. It changes how we read the Bible. It changes how we pray. It changes everything. But if all I'm doing is just reading the Bible as information, like I would any other textbook, like I would any other book, and I'm not reading it through my heart, I'm not reading it through my spirit, well, then I'm not really going to get what's available to me through those things. The Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's actually sent to be a discerner between my spirit and my soul. And that really allows revelation knowledge to flow at such a higher level. But we need to wrap it up for this segment, but I want to get into in the next few is like number one, the difference between, once again, that revelation knowledge versus carnal knowledge. And then number two, we'll get into some practical steps as far as how we can, even in our daily reading, how can we do certain things to put a demand on that revelation knowledge that's on the inside of us? Because it's already there. Jesus, talking to his disciples, it was already there. And he said, who do you say that I am? It's already there. He's just waiting for us to speak it out. He's waiting for us to access something that man did not reveal to us, that flesh and blood did not reveal to us. But our Father in heaven has already revealed these things to us. And he is biting at the bit for us to know who we are and to walk in the authority we're designed to walk in, and he's also wanting to show us more things. He's wanting to reveal more and more and more to us, but we can only do that as we enter into the realm called revelation knowledge. So, Father, I just thank you right now, Lord God, just for this. I thank you for the fact that you're so faithful, and Father, we are not behind, Lord God. We're not slow in the uptake. We're not having to catch up with things. We're right on time, and I thank you, Father God, for revelation knowledge. I thank you for teaching us and guiding us into all truth as it comes to these things, and we walk in the fullness of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us today on Wisdom and Stuff. Don't forget to subscribe to get new updates and check out our podcast page on Podbean to find all our previous posts and full-length messages. We'll see you next time and have a blessed day.